The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the fourth chapter. When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So, why do you worship? Why do you worship? What is it that makes you get out of bed on a Sunday morning and take your pajamas off and get dressed? What entices you to sit on these hard pews for an hour? What encourages you to sing and to pray and to eat with others? Some who you know, some who you don't know, some you don't even like. Why do you worship? Because I have to admit, and here's where I'm going to reveal a bit too much, sometimes I wouldn't be here if I didn't have to be. Sometimes this hour seems to drag on forever. Sometimes I'm bored, or I'm planning tonight's dinner in my head. Sometimes I don't connect with any of the words being spoken or the songs being sung. Please don't fire me now. But preparing for this sermon has convicted me. It's helped me to see where my own heart has been hardened and where I've built these walls between me and the Holy Spirit and even between me and each one of you. So for this sermon, instead of trying to be flowery and creative, I simply want to share a few things with you that I have learned and read and discussed and prayed over these past weeks. I want to share what has helped me see how vital worship is. Which brings me back to my original question, why? So the first thing I did was to ask all of you to help me, because although I am very flawed at worshiping, I am continually longing to experience the holy, and I know that you all often lead me in directions I wouldn't go on my own. So here are some responses to a Facebook plea that asked, why worship? Number one, I don't think you have to be in church to worship God. To me, worshiping God is simply having a conversation with him. Could be in words, song, or simply just being quiet and listening. Honestly, I feel God's presence more when I'm with my family and friends, walking on the beach and marveling at what she has created, or simply talking to him on my way to work. Another one. Worship for me is just connecting with God wherever and whenever, whether in church or out in nature or talking to people. But in church is where I feel he is actually sitting right by my side, along with all my brothers and sisters. And finally, we need to understand that worship does not have walls. People who camp know that sitting next to a fire and thanking God for the beauty is worship. While at the same time, Bethesda is our family. Our friends are there, and it is a joy to worship together with them each Sunday. So your responses in some of the books that I've read have led me to understand worship in one of two ways. Simply either as a noun or as a verb. That's the point of the sentence. If someone's going to ask you questions afterwards, the point of the sermon. I've heard some people do that. Okay, so here we go. Worship the noun. I told you it wasn't flowery. Worship the noun is where you are right now. It is the physical communal body of Christ that weekly gathers together to lift up its voice in song, its heart toward God, and its arms toward each other. It is here where we acknowledge that though there are many other things we could be formed by in this world, for 1 hour on Sunday, we choose to be formed, to be molded, to be shaped by the very one who created us. In this specific place of worship, where, as one of my professors in seminary said, we practice the kingdom of God. It is here where we practice being a people who are reconciled in peace with one another. It is here where we practice being a people that are shaped by Scripture, where we practice being a people who die in the waters of baptism and are raised to new life in Christ. It is in this specific place of worship where we practice nothing other than the kingdom of God. And at the very same time that we engage in practicing the kingdom, our God is at work by the power of the Holy Spirit to bring about that kingdom in our lives and in our relationships. What we do here for an hour on Sunday forms us into kingdom people, even if our hearts are hardened or our ears seem closed, even if we're skeptical or doubtful or unsure. That's why it's essential for children to come to worship, because even as they play and run around and eat their Cheerios, their hearts are being touched by the Spirit. Their ears are hearing the prayers and words of their ancestors. And their lives are being shaped not only by this community, but by the God who claims them beloved. So why worship? Because ultimately, how we choose to spend our time, what words we choose to hear, whose hearts we choose to know, shapes who we are to become. So even if you're not fully present, even if you haven't heard a word I said, even if tonight's dinner menu is running through your head or there is someplace else you'd rather be, you are being molded into who God wants you to be simply by being here. So, I say so a lot. So, if worship as a noun simply requires your physical presence for the Spirit to do her work, worship as a verb requires you to actively participate with the Holy One. Because you were created to worship. Indeed, everyone worships something: money, success, another person, your family, your church. But you are also given the opportunity to choose to worship God. You are given the opportunity to choose to open your heart to the one who created you, to the one who forgives you, to the one who surrounds you with mercy and with grace and with love. The early church fathers sometimes spoke of God as a Trinity who dances. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit moving together in a rhythm of self-giving love. Worship as a verb is our choosing to say yes to God's invitation to dance. And we can choose to dance with God wherever we find ourselves. It might be in worship, the noun, where we feel our defenses drop and our hearts open, and a response to the Word and the Spirit moves our soul. It might be sitting alone deep within the woods, focusing on the majesty of the Creator God. It might be while you're washing dishes and you notice the bubbles floating in the sink and you give thanks to the Spirit who makes all things possible. The entirety of our lives can be worship. For worship as a verb happens simply when we put God first in our lives. Worship happens when we direct our attention, our devotion, our gifts, our resources toward the one who first loved us. So why worship? As one Facebook responder said, worship finally is about building and maintaining community with the divine. Worship, finally, is about being in relationship, about receiving and giving, about connecting to the one who whispers your name. So here is my invitation. Let this particular place of worship strengthen, nourish, and form you into one who continually chooses to dance wildly with God. That is worship that need never end. Amen.